right, good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for that and how good it is. I looked down this morning, was going to turn it off, and it was already off. Did I turn it off during the course of the sermon or something? Huh? Do what? Cut my arm off then. Oh, it's good to see you tonight. Boy, I'm telling you right now, I've been looking forward to this evening, being able to witness the baptismal waters and with old brother Colton here. We'll look forward to that. Man, what a blessing from on high, somebody getting saved and following the Lord in baptism. What a good thing that it is. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. If you find the place you're able to stand, we're going to be looking in about verse number 3. In about chapter 4, verse 3. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. You know where that one faith came from? Well, we read about it this morning over in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And let me tell you what happens is God gives faith by hearing the word of the Lord. And so one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. Our Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. How we plead the blood of Jesus over these folk. We pray that now that you'd save the soul nearest hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on one baptism a little bit tonight. Let me say to you that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find out is that baptism is used in a couple of three different things, but there's only one baptism that God's ever going to recognize. Now, if you look at all the religious world that believes in baptismal regeneration, that one baptism for them will be water every time. But if you're looking at what God said, the real baptism, the one baptism, is a baptism that comes from God and that is issued by the Lord himself. That's what real baptism is. Don't lose your text there, but look in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12, and I'll give you a moment to find that. But in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, verse number 13, and verse 13, after he talks about one body, got many members in it, and so is the body of Christ. But then verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. There's the real baptism right there. You hear the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God will put you into the body of Christ. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether you're Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, and you've been all made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, I don't care if you're Jew, Gentile, black or white, red or yellow, and all of that business there, is that there's only one way to be able to miss hell and make heaven. Never has been but one way. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no mistake about it, he is the only one that can be able to baptize you into the body of Christ. Now, what we're going to do tonight is going to be ritual baptism in an act of obedience. And what we're doing is because we follow the example of the New Testament church, and as a result of that, we're going to be baptizing out of obedience unto the Lord. In fact, is that when you begin to look into it, you begin to recognize that, and you'll find out over there in the book of Matthew chapter 3, and I'll give you a moment to find it. And in Matthew chapter number 3, there's a passage over there that ought to be looked at and remembered. It's in verse 11. John the Baptist is on the scene. John the Baptist is preaching. And in verse number 11 of Matthew chapter 3, here's what he said. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's ritual baptism right there. Could it save anybody? No, it wouldn't save nobody. Water baptism has never saved anybody. It's not saving anybody now, and it won't save anybody tomorrow. You better have the real baptism that comes from God by the Spirit of God baptizing you into the body. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water, he said. But he said, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes that I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you, look at it, with the Holy Ghost. Look at that. And then he said, and with fire. Now, let me tell you, there's three baptisms in that one passage. One of them's John the Baptist baptizing with water. One of them's the Holy Ghost of God baptizing you into the body of Christ. But if you don't want to be saved, one day you're going to receive the last baptism that he mentioned, and that's the baptism of fire, unquenchable fire, that's going to burn you up without hope and without God. Not because he doesn't love you, but because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Bible said, whose fan is in his hand, who shall thoroughly purge his floor, who shall gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, you're going to have one of the other baptisms there. I've known people that had water baptism, and as a result of that, they're going to suffer the baptism of fire someday. But it's good to be able to know that while we look in the Bible, that God can baptize you by that one Spirit we read about in 1 Corinthians 12, that can baptize you with the Holy Ghost of God and put you into the family of God. That's real baptism. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that the only baptism that will ever change your soul is the baptism that comes from God. And when you begin to look into it, you'll find out that it'll save you. So let me tell you something. He's going to set you free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan. He's either going to do that, or he's going to turn you into ashes one of these days. In the lesson that we're looking at, Matthew chapter number 13, about verse number 30, you're going to find out that God finally tells them over there, when the angels of God come and to reap in the last days, here's what the Lord said to them in chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 30. And here's what he says. He says, let both grow together in the harvest until the time of the harvest. I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You either headed to the burning or the barn of God, one or the other. That's a very simple thing, is it not? In this Bible lesson, you'll find that in the book of Luke in chapter 3, verse 17, you'll find he's talking about gathering the wheat, burning up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. John the Baptist preached that message and was preaching on that. Now, you know, in the lesson that we're looking at, and by the way, let me just say to you, while you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 23, Matthew 23, would that be the last place we'll have to turn to maybe this evening. But whenever you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe it. I've known a lot of people up and down the road of life, and tonight, you know, Sunday morning, they'll have, let's just say, some of these churches have got a big group, and Sunday night have very little group. By Wednesday night, it's next to nothing. And I'm talking about in the uptown bigger churches even. Of course, I've been to listen to some of them. I'm glad God saved my soul when he did, or I'd have been an atheist if I had to listen to what's going on in the day we live in. I'm glad God reached down further than I could reach up. Now, I'll tell you right now is, you know, and I mentioned this morning about what we probably need more fares, and I don't think some of you gave me a fair shake on the comment, but anyhow. Can I say this to you tonight? The devil's after you and your family. You know how I can tell it? You know how I know it? Because the devil's either got he or she calling you and talking to you every day of their life. God bless you. Thank you. You know, we were talking about people that exited and went north and some went south. You know the most disappointing thing to them? They thought they had more pull and more people was going to follow them. That's why that they called up trying to befriend you and sugar you up and all of that business. Have you ever noticed I never call any of you? If you don't belong to God and can't do whatever's right before God, it's not going to do any good for me to throw my 2 cents in. I'm liable to get it all messed up. Will I talk to you? You betcha. Will I be honest with you? You betcha. But I want to tell you right now, the devil's doing what he can to be able to make people dress up on the outside and to appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. That's what the word of the Lord said. In this passage here, as we get ready to close, look in verse 25. The Bible said, verse 24, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, and buddy, he's tough on them, isn't he? For you may clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse thou first which is within. That's where real cleansing comes from, within. Within the cup and the platter, and the outside then may be clean also. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so, outwardly you appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And you say that if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now I'm going to tell you something right now. People that are preacher fighters, I guarantee you've got a serious problem. Look if you will, please, in about verse number 35. Well, verse 34, wherefore I send unto you that unto the prophets, wise men, scribes, some of them shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you be scourged in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, and whom that you slew between the temple and the altar. And verily I say unto you that all these things shall come upon this generation. Now I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of blood to give an account from Abel all the way to Zacharias. And let me tell you right now, is the same message that was preached in their day is preached in our day. Same Bible, the same word of the Lord. You better be careful about listening to bad advice and getting on the wrong side of that thing. How'd you like to stand before God and give an account with that kind of severity. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord. And let me tell you, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I tell you, I'm glad. My heart was good. The other, of course, you know, with all we've been going through here of late, anytime somebody walks up, preacher, I need to talk to you a minute, I'm going to think, well, here we go again. Now, what a delightsome thing that it was to find out here's a man. Him and his dear wife sitting there, and here's a man wanting to confess the Lord. You know why? He didn't want to live his life without knowing the Lord. He's got a little boy that's growing up. And let me tell you right now is that it's always good to be able to receive the love and nurture and admonition of your parents with the house of God and the household of faith down at the house of God. And so as a result of that, I can tell you right now, my wife has been nothing but just a blessing all of our lives. And let me tell you right up front, I've worked with some people whose wives were not good to them. I told you years ago about the fellow that I worked at the A&P store down there around Houston. And he came in to work, and it looked like little bitty whelps, and his eye was swole out, his face was swole out. And I said, what in the world's happened to you? He said, my wife took a hairbrush and that's beat me with the bristles of it. I thought, huh, are your legs broke? You couldn't run or something? See? That's sort of like that story about the man. He said, man, I'll tell you right now, she got after me and said, I got up underneath the bed and she took a broom and was poking me with the thing. And finally she kept saying, get out from under that bed and stand up and fight me like a man, you coward. And I want to tell you right now, my wife may could whoop me once like that, but she'd have trouble catching me the next time. She's going to have to do some running. I remember, you know, if we were plain spoken. My mother was pretty plain spoken. Hey, Miss Faye, still plain spoken. She's not here because she can't be on Sunday night, but let me tell you, she's plain spoken. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask her. I remember about just right there behind where Brother Matt's sitting. My mother was sitting, and my wife was sitting there, and this and that. She had on a sweater of a thing. And Miss Nelda, she was a wonderful lady and a Christian and knew the Lord, and she's in heaven tonight. But she was trying to make chit-chat, small talk with my mama. And she said, I'll tell you, I believe I'd give you a foot race for that sweater you're wearing. And Mama looked at her and said, well, you're going to have to run a long time, lose enough weight to get into this. Just as I'm concerned and all that. Miss Nelda was good about it. And see, there's something about older people. Instead of them just saying, well, thank you. They're going to be honest with you. You're not going to get into this in a hurry. I wonder tonight, has God spoken to your heart at all today? Well, then I hope you've done something about it and that you've responded to Him. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of the word.